Hi, everyone. Today we're going to be reading the Everett Independent. This edition is from Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. Significant help. McGonagall secures $300,000 for Everett as Massachusetts House passes Fair Share Supplemental Budget. Representative Joe McGonagall, along with his colleagues in the Massachusetts House of Representatives, passed a $1.8 billion supplemental budget that invests $885 million in public transportation and $417 million in public education and funds several fiscal year 2026 deficiencies. The bill passed a law also includes the tax conformity legislation filed by Governor Healey that delays the state's alignment with the corporate tax changes passed by Congress and the OB3 Act last year. McGonagall procured $300,000 for the redesign and reconstruction initiatives in Everett Square. I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring back money to Everett to invest in downtown, our infrastructure, and our communities, said McGonagall. We are in times of political and economic uncertainty, but I have great trust in the leadership in Massachusetts to keep us thriving. This money will be used to revitalize Everett Square for generations to come. I'm grateful for my partnership with Mayor Van Kampen and his vision for our city. Together, we will keep Everett growing strong. I am also grateful to Speaker Mariano and Chair Mishlowitz for their commitment to the Commonwealth. I'm excited that Representative McGonagall was able to secure these funds to support an important community project, said Van Kampen. Revitalizing Everett Square has been a community priority for many years and is something I want to tackle early in my term. I am hopeful that we can get this project moving quickly in order to achieve real progress. I am appreciative of Representative McGonagall's efforts here, and I look forward to working with him to make Everett the best place in which to live, work, and raise a family. From significant investments in public transportation and public education to support for DTA caseworkers and expenses related to the World Cup to fiscally prudent tax conformity measures, this legislation is representative of the responsible approach that the House will continue to take as we navigate a period of significant economic uncertainty, said House Speaker Ronald J. Mariano, a Democrat of Quincy. I want to thank Chairman Mishlowitz for his hard work, as well as all my colleagues in the House for recognizing the importance of the investments and reforms that the legislation makes. The use of these one-time surplus funds provides us with a unique opportunity to better strengthen the Commonwealth in numerous ways. By further improving our educational and transportation sectors, we will build off the work we have done in the last several budget cycles with the judicious use of the Fair Share funds. The tax changes contained in this bill will help support the state's economic competitiveness while giving us time to absorb the expected loss in revenue, said Representative Aaron Mishlowitz, chair of the House Committee on Ways and Means, a Democrat of Boston. I want to thank Speaker Mariano and all our House colleagues for their input and support on this critical funding legislation. The bill delays conforming to the federal corporate tax changes that were passed by Congress in the OB3 Act last year, which will represent approximately a $400 million revenue loss for the Commonwealth when fully implemented. Under the bill, the research and experimental expense deduction will be delayed 1 year, the deductions for the modification of business interest, depreciable asset expensing, qualified production properties will be delayed 2 years, and the modification of qualified opportunity zone investments program will also be delayed 2 years. However, should the ballot question to lower the state income tax from 5% to 4% pass in November, which would result in a $5 billion revenue loss when fully implemented, the Commonwealth would permanently decouple from these tax credits, preventing them from going into effect. The $1.8 billion bill is funded in part by $1.3 billion from excess fair share surtax funds to invest in public transportation and education. Highlights include $885 million towards transportation, $740 million towards the MBTA, $525 million for the deficiency reserve, $125 million for the workforce and safety reserve, $60 million for physical infrastructure with a focus on the core subway system, $20 million for low-income reduced fares, $10 million for water transportation infrastructure. Other transportation items include $50 million for snow and ice costs, $25 million for regional transit authorities workforce development, $30 million to fund the sustainable aviation fuel credit, $30 million for MassDOT service investments, $417 million towards education, $150 million towards special education circuit breaker costs, $150 million to fund early education child care costs, $38.7 million for the EEC income eligibility waitlist, includes $8 million for child care for providers and $7.5 million for the loan forgiveness program for providers, $20 million for Green School Works program to help schools with clean energy upgrades, $18.3 million for financial aid supplements, $20 million endowment match for UMass and other state colleges and universities, $5.1 million for Tomorrow's Teachers Loan Forgiveness Program, $5 million for ESOL Services Waitlist. The bill also allocates $507 million from the general fund to include $300 million for the Group Insurance Commission, GIC, $54.4 million for sheriffs representing half of the deficiency, requires reporting on the expenses of proposed usage of the funds, $41.6 million for DTA caseworkers, $10 million for FIFA Boston for World Cup related expenses. The bill also includes the following outside sections. Food donation tax credit establishes a food donation tax credit for farm businesses based on the amount of food donated to a nonprofit food distribution organization. The credit is capped at $5,000 annually per individual. Sustainable aviation fuel credit allows taxpayers to take a credit against the tax imposed on fuels used for aircraft propulsion and subject to limitation, requires the amount of credit per gallon of sustainable fuel to increase by $0.15 for each additional 1% reduction in life cycle greenhouse gas emissions above 50%. The credit is capped at $10 million total for all cumulative tax credits over a fiscal year. Ratifies 8 collective bargaining agreements, CBAs. The bill passed the House of Representatives 150-3 and now goes to the Senate for consideration. Navy commissions submarine USS Massachusetts, SSN-798. The Navy commissioned the Virginia-class fast-attack submarine USS Massachusetts, SSN-798, in a traditional ceremony held March 28th at Boston Harbor. The ceremony culminated a years-long process to bring Massachusetts into service. It is the fifth U.S. Navy vessel named after the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, following the most recent USS Massachusetts BB-59, a South Dakota-class fast battleship that participated in nearly every major Pacific campaign from 1943 to 1945 and earned 11 battle stars for its World War II service. Commander Michael Seidsma, Massachusetts commanding officer, spoke proudly of his crew's efforts. "To the crew, the plank owners, the iron patriots of the USS Massachusetts, we did it," Seidsma declared. "Your hard work and unshakable dedication is evident. I am amazed and humbled by what we have accomplished." Sheryl Sandberg, the ship's sponsor and co-founder of Sandberg Bernthal Venture Partners, gave the traditional order to man our ship and bring her to life. The crew responded, "Aye, aye, ma'am," before ceremonially running aboard the submarine. Sandberg also reflected on the Navy's enduring legacy, asking, "In 3 months, our nation will celebrate the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. But as many of you here know, the Navy already celebrated this milestone last October. What does that tell us? It tells us we don't have a Navy because we have a country. We have a country because we had a Navy." Following the hoisting of the colors and commissioning pennant, Admiral William Houston, Director of Naval Reactors, highlighted the crew's hard work and the unit's role in national defense, saying, "Massachusetts is playing an incredible role in our security," Houston said. "Your crew represents the best that our Navy and our nation has. You train relentlessly to bring this warship to life and earned the trust placed on you." Other speakers at the ceremony included David Denton, General Counsel of the Navy, who delivered the principal address, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, U.S. Representative Seth Moulton, and Kerry Wilkinson, President of Newport News Shipbuilding. Massachusetts SSN-798 is the seventh Block IV Virginia-class submarine, built under a teaming agreement between General Dynamics Electric Boat and HII Newport News Shipbuilding. The submarine was christened at the Newport News Shipbuilding Yard in Newport News, Virginia, May 6, 2023, and is the 12th Virginia-class submarine delivered by the shipyard. As it joins the fleet, Massachusetts brings significant warfighting capability, underscoring the nation's asymmetrical advantage at sea. Virginia-class fast-attack submarines have enhanced stealth, sophisticated surveillance capabilities, and special warfare enhancements that enable them to meet the Navy's multi-mission requirements. Each Virginia-class submarine is 7,800 tons and 377 feet in length and has a beam of 34 feet. It is designed with a reactor plant that will not require refueling during the planned life of the ship, reducing life cycle costs while increasing underway time. The commissioning of the USS Massachusetts underscores the Navy's commitment to building America's Golden Fleet. For 250 years, American naval power has projected strength globally. That mission continues and intensifies. We operate forward 24/7, 365 days a year. This operational tempo demands continuous capability delivery, and the Golden Fleet is our answer. How do you envision Everett Public Schools in 3 years? Superintendent William Hart invites you to be an active participant on our strategic planning stakeholder team as we work to shape tomorrow's EPS. Everett Public Schools is launching a collaborative, strategic planning process to identify priorities for the district's future. This groundwork for a district-wide strategic planning process is aligned with the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education's Planning for Success framework. The goal is to produce a clear and practical 3-year strategic plan that will guide district improvement efforts during this period. This is an opportunity to develop strategic priorities and initiatives, review district data, and determine best practices and strategies that we'll implement over time. It will also give Everett stakeholders a voice and means to explore key priorities through a structured approach that reflects the strengths and aspirations of the Everett community. Participants will attend 3 working sessions at Everett High School. Attendance at all 3 sessions is required. Dinner will be provided. The session dates are Thursday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m., Thursday, April 4th from 4 to 7 p.m., and Monday, June 22nd from 4 to 6 p.m. If you are interested in participating in the strategic planning process with EPS, please visit our website to sign up at everettpublicschools.org. Specific inquiries can be directed to Rosemary Hughes, Director of Strategic Initiatives, Everett Public Schools, rmhughes@everett.k12.ma.us. National Grid to host customer assistance event on April 9th. Except for April 9th has passed. By the time you're listening to this, we're going to skip to the next article. A letter to the editor. Say no to immunity for big oil and gas. To the editor. Every time a climate disaster hits, we see the same story. Families lose homes, roads are washed out, and taxpayers foot the bill, all while oil and gas companies rake in profits. Fossil fuel corporations knew about the climate crisis for decades and continue to mislead the public. They're getting richer off our tax dollars. Now, oil and gas lobbyists are urging Congress to give them total legal immunity from laws or lawsuits to hold them accountable for their roles in the climate crisis. It doesn't have to be this way. Instead of taxpayers shouldering the cost, the companies that profited from all this destruction would help fund the rebuilding of roads, homes, schools, and critical infrastructure. We must demand Congress protect our right to hold powerful corporations accountable and say no to immunity for big oil and gas. As a high school student, I want to have a future that isn't overtaken by climate change. For young people like me, climate change is not some far-off issue that we hope someone else will deal with. It is a very real aspect of our lives that we need to address. Between warming temperatures and more dangerous storms, if we don't act now, we risk the livability of our climate in the future. We need the legislature to make sure that it's the people who make the mess that clean it up. Sincerely, Catherine Plosky. Everett man sentenced to 18 months in prison for selling firearms. An Everett man was sentenced in federal court in Boston for selling more than half a dozen firearms, including AR-15-style rifles. João Victor de Silva Soares, 22, was sentenced by U.S. District Court Judge Myong J. Jun to time served, 18 months in prison, to be followed by 2 years of supervised release. In December 2025, De Silva Soares pleaded guilty to 1 count of dealing firearms without a license and 1 count of conspiracy to engage in the business of dealing in firearms without a license. De Silva Soares was arrested in September 2024 in a related state case. De Silva Soares was charged in federal court by criminal complaint in January 2025 and subsequently indicted by a federal grand jury in July 2025. Between August and September 2024, De Silva Soares supplied firearms for sale in eastern Massachusetts. Specifically, on August 26, 2024, De Silva Soares delivered two AR-15-style rifles and sold them for $6,000 in a parking lot in Malden. On September 11, 2024, De Silva Soares participated in another sale involving a total of five firearms consisting of rifles, pistols, and a shotgun outside a residence in Milford. United States Attorney Leah B. Foley, Thomas Greco, Special Agent in Charge of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Boston Field Division, Michael J. Kroll, Special Agent in Charge of Homeland Security Investigations in New England, and David T. Wessling, Acting Field Office Director of Boston, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Removal Operations, made the announcement today. Valuable assistance was provided by the Massachusetts State Police and the Malden and Milford Police Departments. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Reynolds of the Organized Crime and Gang Unit prosecuted the case. The City of Everett hosts annual Senior Health Fair. The City of Everett recently welcomed residents to its annual Senior Health Fair on Tuesday, March 31st at the Connolly Center, bringing together more than two dozen organizations focused on supporting older adults. The event gave attendees a chance to connect directly with providers offering everything from health screenings and assisted living resources to financial and support services. More than 25 vendors were on hand throughout the day, answering questions and helping residents better understand what's available to them. Mayor Robert Van Campen thanked the Council on Aging team for organizing the event and continuing to prioritize programming for Everett's older adult community. "We're grateful to the Council on Aging for the work they do year-round to create opportunities like this," said Mayor Van Campen. "And thank you to all the organizations that showed up to share valuable information and connect with our residents." In addition to resource tables, the fair included a range of free health services, including blood pressure checks, glucose and cholesterol screenings, bone density testing, and massage demonstrations. Elder Services Director Dale Palma said the event reflects a broader commitment to making sure seniors have access to the support they need. "This event is a great example of what can happen when agencies, staff, and community partners come together," Palma said. "We're thankful for everyone who helped make it possible and look forward to continuing it in the years ahead." The Council on Aging offers a wide range of programs and services for older adults, including health and fitness activities, educational resources, transportation, meals, and social opportunities. For more information, residents can visit the Connolly Center at 90 Chelsea Street or call 617-394-2323. Healy Driscoll Administration announces $5 million in grants to local fire departments. The Healy Driscoll Administration today announced that 307 Massachusetts fire departments will share $5 million in grant funding to support the purchase of new safety equipment. "Massachusetts firefighters answer the call in every corner of our state, and our job is to make sure they have what they need to do it safely," said Governor Maura Healey. "We're investing in the equipment that protects them on the front lines and strengthening departments in more than 300 communities so they can continue protecting all of us. We rely so heavily on firefighters in our most challenging moments," said Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. "This program allows us to show our appreciation for the risks that they take to help us every day by providing them with the equipment they need to stay safe." Fire departments across Massachusetts were invited to apply to the Firefighter Safety Equipment Grant Program, which provides reimbursement on purchases of nearly 100 different types of equipment. Eligible items include hoses and nozzles, turnout gear, ballistic protective equipment, portable and mobile radios, thermal imaging cameras, hand tools and extrication equipment, hazardous gas meters, and more. In many cases, the purchase of this equipment will help departments attain compliance with Occupational Safety and Health Administration or National Fire Protection Association safety standards. Firefighters face immediate danger at fires, structural collapses, hazmat incidents, and countless other calls, said Secretary of Public Safety and Security Gina Kwan. They also face the insidious threat of occupational cancer from exposure to toxic gases and substances. The Firefighter Safety Equipment Grants support equipment to protect them from all these risks. The Firefighter Safety Equipment Grant Program funds the tools, gear, and equipment that our firefighters use to protect themselves, each other, and the residents of their communities, said State Fire Marshal John M. Devine. It is a smart investment in safety for the fire service and the Commonwealth. A complete list of the awards by department is attached. The 20 categories most frequently funded throughout the year's grants are hoses, nozzles, and adapters, gloves, hoods, coats, boots, pants, helmets, combustible slash hazardous gas detectors, SCBA face pieces, cold water immersion suits, SCBA bottles, hand tools, ballistic helmets, ballistic vests, thermal imaging cameras, including portable handheld ones, radios, rescue saws, breaching tools, extrication tools, and life jackets. Massachusetts to launch EBT chip cards to prevent SNAP theft and protect tax dollars. Massachusetts is moving forward with the adoption of chip and tap-enabled electronic benefit transfer, or EBT, cards, which will enhance security measures to better prevent theft across the system, including for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Massachusetts would become the third state in the country to implement this important tool to prevent theft and ensure taxpayer dollars are protected. The Healy-Driscoll administration has started notifying Massachusetts retailers to prepare for this upcoming change by updating their point-of-sale POS systems to accept the new chip and/or tap EBT cards. The Department of Transitional Assistance, DTA, will begin piloting chip and tap-enabled EBT cards later this year. Massachusetts is taking action to protect families and the programs they rely on to afford groceries and other essential goods, said Governor Maura Healey. These new chip-enabled EBT cards will strengthen protections against theft and make sure this support is going to the people who need it. We're one of the first states in the nation to adopt this new technology because protecting taxpayer dollars is a top priority for us, and we thank retailers and clients in advance for working with us to implement this. SNAP is a federal program that is entirely funded with federal dollars. SNAP fraud is extremely rare. Less than 1% of the SNAP caseload has been found to have committed fraud. Chip and tap-enabled EBT cards were not authorized by federal government for use until 2024, and guidance for states to implement these more secure EBT cards were not released until August 2025. In 2025, Governor Healey introduced and the legislature passed funding to implement the transition to these more secure cards. Only two other states have launched chip and tap-enabled EBT card pilot programs to date. EBT cards are where benefits are stored and accessed by almost 1 million people in Massachusetts who receive assistance from DTA. There are an estimated 5,500 SNAP retailers in Massachusetts who complete EBT transactions. DTA issues approximately $2.6 billion in SNAP benefits annually to households meeting a variety of eligibility criteria. Benefit theft occurs when eligible clients have their benefits stolen through criminal activity. The most common method of benefit theft is installing card skimmers on point-of-sale or POS devices to steal the card information from the card's magnetic strip. Criminals then use the card information to make fraudulent purchases, leaving zero balances for clients to meet their basic needs as intended. Massachusetts chip and tap-enabled EBT cards will contain a Europay MasterCard Visa EMV microchip and other technology that is much more secure than a traditional magnetic stripe EBT card. For every transaction, the microchip generates a unique code that must be verified by the EBT system before the transaction will be authorized. Chip and tap-enabled EBT cards complete transactions by either being inserted into a POS terminal or tapped on the POS terminal rather than swiped using the magnetic stripe. DTA's job is to provide support to eligible households in need, and blocking criminal actors who would intervene and steal those benefits is an absolute top priority. After years of advocacy and hard work to get here, Massachusetts is excited to introduce a measure that will further reduce opportunities for benefits to be stolen, helping families put food on the table and stopping theft before it occurs, said DTA Commissioner Michael Cole. Thanks to the governor and legislature's investment, EBT cards will be better aligned with the safeguards that have long existed for commercial credit and debit cards. We're hopeful that retailers can quickly adopt the technology needed to utilize this card technology, and we stand ready to make sure this process goes as smoothly as possible. The migration to chip-enabled EBT cards adds an important layer of security to the Commonwealth's food benefit system, said John B. Hurst, President and CEO, Retailers Association of Massachusetts. Retailers have been upgrading their point-of-sale POS systems to prepare for this change, and we appreciate the partnership with the Healy-Driscoll administration to ensure a seamless transition. DTA has previously taken significant action to prevent benefit theft and safeguard client benefits, including implementing card lock and unlock technology using DTA Connect mobile application and the cardholder customer service line, providing an EBT card safety flyer with every EBT card issued that contains information on how to lock and unlock your card, as well as frequently change the PIN, educating clients on card safety and encouraging regular changing of their EBT card PIN to enhance security, and forcing repinning when there was high known risk for stolen PINs, producing educational materials on protecting your EBT card and identifying SIEMs, informational videos, flyers, and more in multiple languages available on mass.gov/protect-your-EBT. Engaging retailers and retail associations through outreach and education on benefits, theft schemes, and patterns, and partnering with law enforcement on information sharing. Fraud prevention is a critical responsibility for all DTA staff. DTA uses eligibility interviews and verification to ensure accurate initial determinations. DTA constantly leverages advanced data analytics and tools, regularly adding new methods, data matching, transaction monitoring, and a variety of fraud detection practices to detect and resolve potential program integrity risks. When issues are identified, DTA conducts non-criminal fraud investigations, disqualifies individuals for program violations, refers cases for prosecution, calculates overpayments, and establishes claims for repayment. DTA operates a fraud hotline via phone and email inbox where anybody can submit a referral for investigation. Suspected fraudulent activity is investigated through dedicated program integrity and law enforcement partnerships. DTA also actively partners with State Auditor's Office Bureau of Special Investigation, BSI, and the Office of the Inspector General on program integrity initiatives. Anyone is available to report fraud to DTA online using a form or by email at dta.reportfraud@massmail.state.ma.us or by phone using DTA's fraud hotline at 800-372-8399.